Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Well, we have been in an incredible series called Family Matters over the last few weeks, and Pastor Ryan kicked it off. Pastor John was next up in line. Pastor Jody crushed it last week, and you get me for week number four. And I'm so excited to be with you. Merry Christmas to all of you, whether you're joining us online at our Bellevue campus here in Tacoma. So glad that you chose to come to church, because the wind is blowing, the rain is coming down, and you all said, it don't matter, because I'm going to find my way to the house of God. So thank you, Champion Center, for being awesome this morning. I just want to recap what we've learned so far here in this series. Week one, we talked about how we are formed for God's family. We are loved, we are wanted, and we belong. Everyone say, we belong. Week two, we all have a part to play in God's family. Pastor John reminded us that the family of God is built when we are building one another. If you remember, he had chairs across the stage. He had the me chair, the middle chair, and then the chair where all of us hope to spend our time, which is the chair on mission. Hey, there's some people who are taking notes in church. And then week three, Pastor Jody last week, she talked about how we have to fight for God's family. She shared with us the different postures that we can take, like positivity, passion, when we're fighting for God's family. And then today, we're going to wrap up this series with week four, and I'm going to share with you today on leaving a godly family legacy. Leaving a godly family legacy. You may not know this, but God wants a family. If he wanted to create robots that would just do everything he said and were hardwired to not have an opinion, a thought, a desire, and an opportunity to choose to love, he would have done so. But that is not what God desired. God desired what he already experienced with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, relationship with family. And that's why he gave us Jesus. Jesus represents for us the beginning of a new family. That's why Christians get really excited around Christmas time, because we realize him coming to the earth means we are sons and daughters of heaven. We're not divided by race or natural bloodlines. This family here is part of his legacy for his children. I get so excited when I think about what the Bible says to us in Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to what God designed for family legacy. He said his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? He said unchanging plan. From the beginning, his plan was to choose you, and his plan was to choose me. And I love this last part of the verse, and it says, and this gave him great pleasure. You and me belonging to God's family gives him great pleasure. Let's pray. Father, we just, right now, God, we open our hearts to hear your heart for us today. God, I pray that we would see the amazing legacy that you've created for us. God, that we would recognize our part to play in furthering the legacy of the family of God. And so I pray that our hearts are open, that our mind is ready, God, that we will be better than when we came in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Well, it's Christmas time, and hopefully, well, in case you didn't know it, you're running out of time if you haven't bought gifts yet. But the marketers have been thinking about you since, you know, July, and they have been preparing and planning for you to pick their stuff for Christmas. And I was watching TV the other day, and up came this commercial for Ancestry.com. You ever heard of that? Ancestry.com. So many people want to know their heritage. They want to know where they came from. And you, too, can know where you came from for $49.99. In fact, if you haven't purchased a gift yet, you're welcome. Ancestry.com. Your family will love you. Ancestry history does not reveal your family legacy. DNA doesn't tell you if your family is loving, doesn't tell you if your family is dysfunctional, wealthy, or if your family has struggled with poverty. It doesn't tell you family stories. It doesn't tell you about the brave decisions, the courageous choices of people in your family in years past. It doesn't tell you your family values, like the importance of great character and work ethic and education. And while it may not show up on a DNA test, family legacy is very much a part of our daily lives. Maybe you've never thought of this before, but we are all born into legacy. Every one of us is past a legacy, lives out a legacy, and gives a legacy to our family. Everyone say legacy. It's not an option. Parents pass to their children a legacy. It might be a great one. It might be like a great education. In our family, we value education. We just continue to pass that on and make sure that our kids have the best opportunity for that. Or it could be a bad legacy, like repeated abandonment. Or maybe, just maybe, it's a little bit of both, some good and some bad. But the word legacy is such a fascinating word because it doesn't only speak to just the future, but it also speaks to something that is beyond us, something that will outlast us. I love what the American philosopher William James said. He says, the great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Legacy will outlast you, and it will outlast me. What we value, what we're devoted to, what we're passionate about, what we consistently repeat in our lives outlasts us, and it becomes our legacy. I have a legacy. My parents, they both passed on legacy to me. My mother's side of the family, she passed on a godly legacy. I come from a line of pastors and worship leaders and Sunday school teachers in my mom's side of the family. They were a fun family. They were always laughing and having a great time. And there was lots of love and grace and always including others and making room at their table, bringing others to the family of God. I feel so blessed to have had that legacy from my mom. But my father's legacy looked much different. He wasn't passed a godly legacy. My grandfather chose not to serve the Lord. Instead, he chose to serve himself. He was an alcoholic. He was verbally and physically abusive to my father, his three brothers, and my grandmother. He left a legacy of brokenness, premature death, purpose unfulfilled. And although my dad suffered years of ridicule and even despised by his father and his brothers, my dad made a different choice. He chose a different future for my sister, my brother, and for our family. And he chose to belong to God's family. Each generation chooses their future legacy. Maybe you could relate to the story about my mother's legacy. Maybe you grew up in church, or your mother grew up in church, and your grandparents grew up in church. And the question that you have to answer is, will you adopt the godly legacy passed on to you and continue to be a part of the family of God? Or maybe you identify more with my father and say, I didn't have godly legacy passed to me. But will you choose to be the generation that boldly says, this is where the godly legacy begins? No matter what biological legacy that you've received, God has always chosen you and me as part of his family. Do you remember that verse that I read earlier? His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us. You know that the writer goes on to say here, says that you are members of God's very own family and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Turn to somebody and say, you belong in this house. So no matter what your natural family legacy looks like, every believer who's been born into God's family receives a godly legacy. Aren't you glad God thought about that ahead of time? That he didn't just say, oh, okay, well, she was good enough. I'll give legacy to her. I'm not so sure about their family. I'm not so sure about her behavior, his behavior. I'm going to say, no. Regardless, God has given you and given me a godly legacy. Now that we know that we have this legacy and we belong to God's family, there are three things that I want to spend my time talking with you about today. Three things that we need to do to leave a godly legacy. And the first one is think generationally. Say generationally. God set generational thinking as the building block for godly legacy. We see this in the life of Moses. You may have been around Champion Center for a while and heard us say things like, we think three around here. What are we talking about? We're talking about how we're forward thinking. We're always thinking about how we can include the next generation, how we're going to reach the next generation. We get that language from Moses when he referred to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen to the words of the people of God that he spoke to in Deuteronomy. He says, attention, Israel, which is the family of God. Attention, Israel. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you, and then get them inside your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and your foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your home and on your city gates. Can you hear the urgency in his voice? Do whatever it takes to keep remembering the goodness of God and his ways in your life. That's how we establish legacy. He goes on to say that when God, your God, ushers you into the land he promised through your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, you're going to walk into large, bustling cities that you didn't build, well-furnished houses that you didn't buy, come upon wells that you didn't dig, vineyards and olive orchards that you didn't plant. And when you take it all in and settle down, pleased and content, make sure you don't forget how you got there. Legacy. Do you remember how grateful you were when you first found the family of God? When you first found a home to belong to? I see it every single weekend here at Champion Center. People come to the red carpet after service and they say, oh my goodness, we've been looking for a great church. So glad we found you. And do you know when they talk about the great church, they don't mention things like, wow, the building is so amazing and wow, that shuttle was top notch. No, they talk about you. They say, wow, I can't believe that someone would get here to church early and stand in the pouring down rain, all decked out in parking lot gear, just to wave at me when I came through the door. I can't believe someone would get up and go early to church so that they could stand at the door and greet me. Or how about the band who gets here at 7:30 in the morning to make sure that we have a great worship experience? That's what they talk about. They talk about you. Talk about our great children's workers next door. But the danger in any family is something called familiarity. Because over time, this family that we're so grateful for that we find, it becomes familiar to us. The people become familiar. And before you know it, the way we do church becomes familiar. So familiar that it becomes the way that we should do things. And we forget sometimes that nothing is familiar for the incoming generation. If we're going to reach the next generation, we have to embrace the new. We have to embrace a fresh perspective of the fresh life, the fresh way of doing things. That's not always easy to do either, because sometimes we get stuck in one generation. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can just go to the mall and look at somebody and know exactly what generation they're stuck in. It's no different here at church. If we're not careful, we'll just want to keep doing church the way it was so great when we came to the family. The day that the family of God gets stuck in one generation is the day that the family begins to lose strength and the house begins to shrink. Older generations have so much to offer. I like to think that, you know, in my 40s, I've got something to offer a 20-year-old that maybe I couldn't have offered 20 years ago. That maybe I've lived a little bit of life and gone through a few things, and that just maybe I could encourage them. Just maybe I'd have something to say, but it demands great skill and wisdom to serve up that to the next generation in a way that they can hear it, in a way that they want to receive it. Anyone can be dictating all day long, and you should do this, and you should do that, and this is the way it is, and we cross our arms, and you know what your problem is? Anyone can say that, but it takes wisdom to be able to go after the next generation and say, put your arm around them and say, it's okay, I've been there, I survived, and you know what, honey, you're going to survive this one too. I love that we take risks in this family, that we keep our family full of life, that we keep talking about the grace of God, and we offer the grace to each other without ever forsaking the truth. Moses said, write them on your hearts. Get them inside you. Be intentional about making sure that the next generation knows me. To leave a lasting legacy, God's family must also live today for tomorrow. Say, live today for tomorrow. Let's say it again. Live today for tomorrow. Legacy-minded thinkers are generational thinkers. They literally do what we just said. They live their life today with the next generation in mind. And I want to pause a little bit as we're just barreling down this idea and this thought of godly legacy, because I imagine that there's maybe one or two of you out there that are hearing this today, and maybe you're feeling unqualified to belong to this family. You don't have anything to offer. Maybe you're just thinking to yourself, man, if she only knew the kind of legacy that I came from, how in the world do I have anything to bring and give to this family? And I got some encouragement for you, because Jesus' family had some serious issues. No, I mean serious issues, maybe even more serious than some of the stuff you all have gone through in your families. Listen to this. Jesus, in his family legacy, he had liars, scheming deceivers. He came through the line of a prostitute, murderers, adulterers, oppressive and cruel kings, and rapists. That's Jesus' legacy. But I got great news. You do not have to have a perfect family to leave a godly legacy. You just got to start it. You got to start with what you got right now. You got to lead yourself well. And you got to get connected to your own family here. Start leading your family well. You and I, we can't control the past, but you can break the chain of hurt and abuse and ungodliness right now. My father did it. He decided, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's going to cost me, because it did. You got to start somewhere by establishing a godly legacy. You got to sow seeds of faith, seeds of encouragement, seeds of prayer, seeds of love, generosity, seeds of faith. Because you determine, you right now where you sit, determine that the future generations of your family name will be blessed. That's a powerful choice we get to make. And it just takes one person to shift the trajectory of legacy for future generations. Just one. Turn to somebody and say, just one. King Josiah did this. We read in 2 Kings a story of a young man who had two generations of kings before him, his grandfather and his father, and neither one of them honored the Lord. They discarded the word of the law. They let it go. And at 8 years old, after his father was killed by his servants, Josiah became king. And by the time he was 18, he said to the priest, he said, something's not right about the way things were with my family. Many of you are like that. Some of you in this room right now have had your own awareness. You're aware that something's not right with the way things were. There is a better way to live life than the way that my family has lived life. And King Josiah said, something's not right. So he went to the priest and he said, read to me all of the things out of the book of the law. And upon hearing God's words, the Bible says that Josiah, he was so distraught that he literally ripped his clothes in anguish and disgust and despair. Like, how could my family get it so wrong? How could my grandfather and my father just move so far away from God's ways? And I love what it says in 2 Kings 23. It says that the king acted immediately. Say immediately. Assembling all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And then the king proceeded to the temple of God, which is like the church, bringing everyone in his train, priests and prophets and people ranging from the famous to the unknown. And then he read out publicly everything written in the book of the covenant that was found in the temple of God. And the king stood by the pillar and before God solemnly committed them all to the covenant. And here's what he committed. He said, we are committed to follow God believingly and obediently, to follow his instructions, heart and soul, on what to believe and do, and to put into practice the entire covenant, all that was written in the book. And the people stood in affirmation, and their commitment was unanimous. It just takes one. The legacy that you leave is the life that you lead. Now I know, after watching my father's struggle, when you go through years of physical and verbal abuse, that doesn't just disappear overnight. My dad had to do the hard work of detoxing his soul from the ugly, hateful words that were scripted over him, because he was determined that he was not going to take those same words and script them over my brother, my sister, and myself. That was not easy. It took effort. And when you decide that you're going to leave a godly legacy, sometimes you're going to have to do some things that feel unnatural. The easy thing is just to do what's been taught to you, right? We call it common sense. Well, every family has their own common sense. It makes sense to you, but not to everybody else. And I love here. I love that King Josiah said to himself, I could continue in my family's footsteps, or I can make changes. He chose to live God's way. He chose to create godly habits, mindsets, and beliefs. And I love what our friend Rick Warren says about this. He says that awesome families recognize that they're not the center of the universe. They teach each other. You and I here in this world, we teach each other how to show love and to do good deeds. Good deeds are called ministry. They are called service. They acknowledge that God made them and shaped them for a mission. They model dedication, service, generosity, and prayer. Average families don't do those things. Awesome families do. Can I just say to you, Champion Center, you are an awesome family. Every single week, you serve, you give generously, you are living a life on mission. You're bringing other people from your world into this community saying, hey, come check out my family. This is a family that we can be proud of. We may not be proud of all the other things, the family that God has given us, but we can come in here and be proud of the family of God. The third thing that we can do to leave a godly legacy is to build on generational strength. Say strength. See, one generation's ceiling of accomplishment is the floor for the next generation's strength. Now, Jesus declared this to his disciples before he left the earth. He says in John 14, 12, he says, I tell you the solemn truth. The person who believes in me will perform the miraculous deeds that I am doing. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus says, you know what? I want you to know, before I leave this earth, that everything you've seen me do in this generation, you can do it too. But then he went one step further. He said, you perform the miraculous deeds that I'm doing and will perform greater deeds than these. What's he saying? Wherever I left off in this generation, I want you to know that the ceiling for me is your floor. Now you go and you build off of the strength that I've given you, and you do even greater things than I am able to do. Legacy looks a little bit like building blocks. Generational strength. We have generational strength here at Champion Center. In fact, I looked around the room as we were worshiping today, and I saw so many families that I have seen before for years that have been here. I know your struggles, I know your stories, and yet you're here. Some of you have been here for so long that you actually remember the days when this place didn't look as good as it does. You remember those blue chair benches that we had all over in here? Thank God that somebody said, we got another generation coming. We need to update some things around here. But this church, Champion Center, it once started out as two churches. We have Meridian Christian Ministries, a church that our senior pastor said, yes, I will pastor and lead this church over in Puyallup. And then we had another church, Pastor Owen Shackett, who built this building in his family. It was so incredible, so much foresight. I mean, imagine this building was built when they didn't even have stadium seating in movie theaters, right? So we have a pastor here building this house, another pastor in Puyallup, and then one day, Pastor Owen had retired and People's Church was looking for a new leader, and Pastor Kevin had a lot of people and not a lot of space, and they said, why don't we do this? Why don't we take these two churches and let's bring them together? And we started out with one service, Covenant Celebration Church at 10 a.m. where success begins on Sunday. You guys remember that? Some of you do. Now I remember when my parents first started coming, they sat up in that little section right up over there for years. They sat up there. And then before we knew it, more people started to come. More people started to come, and then we went from one service to multiple services. Two services on a Sunday? What? And I mean, that's just not the way we've done church. Well, it's the way we're going to do church now. And we went from two services on a Sunday, we added Saturday night, and then before you knew it, we thought, well, maybe God wants us to go into other parts of the Puget Sound area. And so we said, hey, how about this? Maybe we need to go to the Bellevue area. And then together as a church, we gave, we sacrificed, we continued to grow ourselves and build our teams and stretch ourselves. And then the Bellevue church was born, our Bellevue campus. Building off of generational strength. Online campus came. We can reach people beyond where we are right now. We know that we can, and we began reaching people beyond the Northwest. And then we all get real excited about the latest baby that's coming. And here we have now the DuPont campus opening tomorrow! Strength. Generational strength. How do we keep building it? How do we go from here to here to here to here? We all have our part to play in our relationship with God. It starts with the individual, and then it becomes a part of the whole of the family. Are we building relational strength? Is God's family a priority for you relationally? We can come into this space every single week, guys, and never really be known or know someone. Pastor John spoke about that. Being friendly but having no friends. Are you putting in the hard work to live in unity, connected to God's family? Spiritually, are you continuing to help the family of God by growing yourself? I mean, the reality is we come into this church once on a weekend, maybe twice on a Wednesday night. That's two meals. None of us would survive throughout the week physically on two meals. We got to continue to feed ourselves and grow ourselves. I'm going to close with this. We have an amazing family here. I look around this room and I just see so much generational strength. But maybe you're new. Maybe you've only been coming here for the last year or two. We're so glad you're here because you represent the next generation. the next generation of strength, of growth, of building the work that God wants to do. But each of you has the potential to build this strength. But the key word is potential. It's only when we act upon it that it goes from just being a conversation and a great little message that ended the fourth weekend of a series called Family Matters into actually being put into action and transforming your life and the lives of the people around us. If you are a teenager in the room or younger, would you please stand to your feet? If you're a teenager or younger, would you stand to your feet? Can we let our church kids, our champion kids, know how much we love them? Stay standing. Listen. I look all over this room and I see future. Those of you who are standing could have done a lot of other things with your time this morning. And I want you to know that the Church of Champion Center, the family here, we love you. But you can leave a legacy. You're not too young that you can't start thinking about legacy. And you're loved. But listen, right now you may be feeling the love, and I encourage you, what about the little girls and the little boys next door in our children's ministry? They need to see you. They need to see you present. They need to see that you're here, showing them that God's ways are good and that living for Him is fun. Do you think you can do that? Okay, have a seat. If you're in your 20s or your 30s, I want you to stand to your feet. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a whole lot of looking around in this decade right here. Looking for rings and all kinds of things. Listen, if you're in your 20s or in your 30s, you can leave a legacy. There are teenagers that just stood up that need to hear that the drama of high school doesn't last forever. That it's okay to be unique, the unique person that God made you to be, that God has a purpose and a plan for their life, that living God's way is the best life you can live. You, right now, standing, can do that for our teenagers. Okay, have a seat. If you're in your 40s or your 50s, stand up to your feet. Oh, yeah. My people, where are you? Come on. You should be standing strong and proud because we've made it through some stuff. If you're in your 40s or your 50s, you've gone through some things and you've overcome. Can I just say to you, those of you in your 40s and your 50s, that there are some 20 and 30-year-olds that could really use some guidance. They're navigating critical life decisions on marriage and career. Family. They need our support more than ever before. We need to wrap our arms around them and love them. Help them through the difficult decisions. Share your struggle. You've been through some stuff. Tell them what you've been through. Tell them how you wish you would have done it differently. Spare them some of the heartache that maybe you and I went through because we're willing to love them and encourage them and share with them. Okay, have a seat. Thank you. If you are in your 60s or older, would you please stand to your feet?
Yes!
We honor you. We honor you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for not giving up on all of us below you who are still working out life and sometimes doing some really dumb stuff. Most of all, I just want to say thank you that you didn't hear a voice or a lie that said that you no longer matter and that you don't belong. Because we can't get where we're going without learning from you. Leaning on your wisdom. You have gone before us and you have fought some battles. And you fought those battles so that generations after you don't have to fight them. Some of you out there fought a battle for me, and I didn't even know you were fighting it. You fought a battle that said, you know what? It's okay. God can call a woman all by herself to lead a campus and use the purpose that God has called her to, because you fought a battle for me. I get to stand here. Your life experience is a treasure. And my prayer for you is that you take none of it with you when you leave this earth, that you pour out all the treasure that you have stored up on the inside of you into all the faces that are around you here in this family, because we need you. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to read this last scripture to you. It's in Ephesians 2. We started out the series with this. It says, God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation, and now he's using you brick by brick and stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds it all together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Being included in God's family is the highest honor and the greatest privilege that you and I will ever receive. Nothing else comes close. Whenever you feel unimportant, unloved, or insecure, remember to whom you belong. Remember the godly legacy that God has given you. You were formed for God's family. You are loved. You are wanted. You belong. We all have a part to play in God's family, and it's a family worth fighting for. The last question I have is, can we leave a lasting godly legacy here at Champion Center? I believe that we can. Would you do this for me? Would you stand to your feet, all of us here in the room? If you received this word today, would you just lift up a hand? I just want to pray over us all. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for reminding us how much you desire us to be in your family. God, the words to us, that it was an unchanging plan, that from day one, you adopted us, and from day one, it's given you great pleasure to call us your sons and daughters. No matter where we came from, you're building this house, you're building this family, brick by brick, God. And so we thank you, God, that we get to play a part. God, that when we're down, the family's here to surround us. God, that we lean into this family in our time of need and struggle. And I pray that you'd help every single one of us to find our family mission, our purpose. God, what you shaped our family to do. God, we lift this moment up to you. God, we seal this moment. You know every single heart that's represented in this house. And you know what word spoke to each one of us. And I pray that it would be a seed that goes deep in the soil of our heart. Father, that it would change us and transform us. In Jesus' name. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, I want to give you, if you haven't, you're in the room today and you'd say, Nicole, I don't feel like I belong to the family of God. I've been away from God. Or maybe I've never even known him. And you'd say to me today, I would like that. I would like a new beginning in my relationship with God. I'd like to belong to the family of God. I'd love an opportunity to pray with you. In a moment, I'm going to lead the whole church here in a prayer. And when I do, I'm just going to ask that you would just repeat after me. And that prayer is a declaration of an acknowledgement that you've missed the mark. It's okay. So have all the rest of us in this room. And by the grace of God, he says, that's okay. I see you where you are, and I love you anyways, and I want relationship with you. God desires relationship with you. So if that's you and you'd like a new beginning, no one else is looking around, it's just me. I'd sure like to know who I'm praying for. Would you just lift up your hand boldly and say, please include me in that prayer, Nicole. Include me. I want that fresh start. I want that new beginning. I see hands going up. Yes, all over the room, I see people who are making a bold statement right now to say, I belong to the family of God. Okay, if everyone, those of you who have your hands raised and everyone else, if you just repeat after me and just say, Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. Today I invite you to be the leader and the Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin, and I boldly declare that I belong to the family of God, and I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate with those who just made that decision?
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.